Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. Please join us again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 today, beginning in verse 14. What we have here are words from the Apostle Paul to the early church in the city of Corinth. This was a thoroughly pagan city full of idols and idol worship. Any man or woman converted to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would be coming out of a deeply religious, but not Christian, upbringing and influence. Sometimes, I think we do not grasp Paul's writing here and elsewhere because we do not walk down the streets of our cities and towns and find great big temples built to honor gods and goddesses like Apollo and Aphrodite. That, to us, is ancient history. These are modern times. Some of us come out of, say, Buddhist or Hindu backgrounds where there is worship, like bowing before idols. Regularly in Hong Kong, where I have lived, there are altars in homes and businesses. So this still exists, but is not as common in other places like North America. Nevertheless, idolatry exists. Boy, does it ever. And so the word of God to us here is applicable. One does not need to slip into a temple to worship false gods. One needs only to worship anyone or anything other than the one true God, and he or she is an idolater. If we are paying attention in these days together, we should find this Bible teaching convicting. And we repeatedly mention idolatry because this draws out God's jealousy. He has no rival, but we have made rivals, and so he deals with them. He deals with us. Look now, listen now to verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Ah, that word beloved. Pastor Paul loves these people. And we saw last time that at least some Christians in the church at Corinth were slipping back into old sins. Whereas they had been saved and redeemed from idolatry, they were now going back to it. It is hard for Christians to stand up to the temptations of the old self, even when we have been given by the Holy Spirit a new self. We understand this, right? Have you ever found yourself returning to sins you thought you had beat? And yet, here is that temptation rearing its ugly head again? Well, Satan is persistent, and surrounded by a pagan culture, as we also are today, delving back into iniquity is something we must all deal with and address. So the Apostle Paul says it is urgent that you flee from idolatry. The Greek word flee means to escape, to shun, to run away, flee. The first thing you should do, stat, is run. Get as far away from the idols as possible. This reminds us of 1 John 5, verse 21, where the Apostle John alerts us, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Flee from idolatry. Guard yourself from idols." Brothers and sisters, my beloved, it is crucial that we likewise take speedy retreat from the idols in our lives. Here is an example: money and material possessions. Have you made a god of those things? Listen as I read the words of Job. Job was a very wealthy man with all sorts of material possessions, and he says this, Job chapter 31, verses 24 through 28. Job 31, beginning in verse 24. If I have put my confidence in gold and called fine gold my trust, if I have gloated because my wealth was great and because my hand had secured so much, if I have looked at the sun when it has shone or on the moon going in splendor and my heart became secretly enticed and my hand threw a kiss from my mouth, that too would have been an iniquity calling for judgment, for I would have denied God above. Have you heard these words from the godly man Job? Often this is missed when the book of Job is taught, but right here we have the important realization that worshiping money and possessions means we have denied God above. Friends, let us not put our confidence in gold. Let us not trust in our bank and investment accounts. Let's not gloat because of our wealth. Rather, let's worship God alone and use our financial resources generously to build His kingdom on this earth, storing up treasure in heaven. Our text in 1 Corinthians 10 continues, and there is much here that is beneficial, but this is not a teaching on every verse in the chapter. We are here for a specific reason, to see how the God who is jealous deals with idolatry. And so I am moving now down into verse 19. Come down the page or screen with me in your Bible, if you're not driving, to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. Well, let's pause there for comment. Capture this. Idols are demonic. Paul writes, the thing sacrificed to idols itself has no spiritual power. And the idols that receive these sacrifices have no spiritual power because they are nothing. As we heard when God himself defined the false gods in Isaiah, the idols are nothing but pieces of wood or stone or whatever earthly fabric they're made of. However, these idols represent that which is demonic. Verse 20 should be highlighted. They sacrifice to demons and not to God. So a spiritual force does exist behind the idol. This is how the devil operates. I know someone in Asia who has an idol set up in a prominent place in their apartment. And this woman provides the idol with fresh fruit as an offering according to the Buddhist calendar. I have seen fresh oranges and bananas laid there. Well, there is no spiritual power in the actual fruit. We know that. And there is no spiritual power in the idol itself made of ceramic. However, behind all this that is seen are demons. This superstitious woman and her family are being deceived, which is just what the father of lies, that is what Jesus calls Satan, this is what he wants. Oh, the evil one loves it when we worship anyone or anything other than God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 17, we read, they sacrificed to demons who were not God. And in Psalm 106 verse 37, we read, they even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. The Israelites got all wrapped up in the same pagan practices of the peoples that lived alongside them. They aroused God's jealousy. This is why Christians must have nothing to do with idols. Let me read verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Amen to that. It is one or the other. We must make our choice. In the words of Jesus, we cannot serve two masters. When we fellowship with Christ, we are not having fellowship with demons. But when we have fellowship with demons, we have no fellowship with Christ. Choose this day whom you will serve. And now we come back to the verse with which we began a few days ago, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 22, and Paul's question, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Here again, Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, God says, "They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols." The one true and everlasting God takes action against idolatry, and he does so by his jealousy. Keep reading. Listen to two other passages briefly, one Old Testament and the other New Testament. Jeremiah 25, verses 6 and 9. "Do not go after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands, and I will do you no harm." Verse 9, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about. And I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and an everlasting desolation." And we know from elsewhere in the Bible that is exactly what God did. Jeremiah 25, verses 6 and 9. And then the judgment presented by John in Revelation 21, verse 8. "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Revelation 21, verse 8. What about all this? I hope our brief, and this was swift, our quick study in 1 Corinthians 10 is helpful for you. This proves that God's jealousy, provoked by human idolatry, is as real now as it was way back in Israel. And this gives us apostolic instruction on what to do about it, which is to flee. Let's ask ourselves, have we provoked the Lord to jealousy? Seriously ponder this and join us again next time as we bring to a conclusion our short series on the jealousy of God here on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.